You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program, already in progress. It's hour two on this Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. President Trump inserted himself into the Big Ten football picture. But that should be nothing new to you. Anyone who claims sports and politics don't mix doesn't know much about the history of sports or politics. Presidents have often inserted themselves into sports, or at least used them for photo ops. We always had those at the White House. Go back to Teddy Roosevelt, the role he played in the development of college football back in the early 20th century. George W. Bush throwing out the first pitch at the World Series after 9/11. Then you have President Trump. His presidency has been intertwined with sports from the beginning, starting with his position on Colin Kaepernick in the NFL. And now the Oval Office is getting involved in an issue that none of us ever thought we would be facing or hearing about: how to safely play college football. Big Ten in particular has been tricky because they canceled the football season, surprised by the backlash. The presidents took a vote, and the athletic directors and coaches and players were shocked by that result. And then they canceled the season, and then you had the pushback. But football is once again in the political crosshairs in a key, key election states. Because like it or not, if you want sports to be a total escape from the real world, you pick the wrong year for that to happen. And recapping what I tweeted out yesterday afternoon, I said that the Big Ten is looking at October 10th. That is the date that if they're going to be able to play football, they have to come back by October 10th. Because that gives them the opportunity to be in the playoffs. And my source said any time after that won't work. And then I followed up with my source. I said, is it still a long shot? And he said, there are so many functions. I don't see how they can agree on anything. They miss Jim Delaney, the former Big Ten commissioner. And then I just wanted to know about that exact date, because that's a Saturday, October 10th. That's 5 weeks away. And you would still be able to play enough games in the Big Ten. Not every Big Ten team would play, from what I'm told. But the schools that have a chance to be in the mix want to be able to play. And then my source followed up by saying, there are teams that want to get started right now and be in position to be in the playoffs. There are definitely other schools that don't want to follow. The president gets involved. The fact that there's no leadership and different agendas makes it difficult to think they can come together. People focused on the date I gave you. That's the date they've circled to come back. If they come back by then they can play for a national championship. Whether we get to that point, you know, that's up to a lot of different people with a higher pay grade than mine. My source then followed up by saying the Big Ten has itself to blame. Playing in domes during the winter with depleted rosters in the spring for no championship is not an alternative. They have more money than anyone and rushed to judgment. Now they're going to be watching other conferences start and possibly play a full schedule. And then I wanted to know, are the presidents going to re-vote? So I reached out to my source this morning, and I was told that they would have to vote. They'd have to vote again. But coaches were in denial and skeptical that the season would even start. Now it looks like they're going to be very frustrated. Ohio State knows they have a great team, and playing in the spring won't satisfy anyone. So that just puts everything into context. I know when you read a tweet and people focused on, oh, the Big Ten's coming back October 10th. That's when they want to. That's the target date. That's an if. And I said at the time in the tweet yesterday that McLovin sent out, this has to do with safety protocol. Because from what I was told, Big Ten will start October 10th if they can pass updated measures and procedures. Don't know if that will happen, but the president did have an impact. That's what I was told yesterday. That's the information I shared with you. That's the only information I had at the time. October 10th was the startup date if they're going to be able to pull this off, because after that, then they won't play. And I was told springtime football is not an option here. It's October 10th or bust, basically, for the Big Ten. We have a poll question. Do you think the Big Ten is going to play this fall, play in the spring, or not play at all? McLovin, update the poll results.
57% say this fall, and then 38% say not until next fall.
I don't think we're... Oh, yeah. I think next fall, but I'm cautiously optimistic that they can do something here, because I don't want to be hopefully voting on this. I'm going to think that what is happening now, and maybe these presidents, those who want to play, and not, I don't think Northwestern's going to play. I don't think Rutgers is going to play. I don't think Illinois is going to play. You know, maybe you have a true Big Ten, and can you get everybody together? And, you know, short period of time, Michigan is practicing now. There's a couple schools that are practicing right now. And, you know, so that, once again, it's just putting it all in context so you understand what I'm saying and the information that's going on behind the scenes. But I'm being told there's no real leadership here. Like, it's a mess. And if you can get somebody who can lead the charge here, the president now putting pressure on the commissioner, Kevin Warren, big time pressure to get this done. And when the president says we're at the 1 yard line, that's a whole lot of pressure. Because from what I'm told, they're not even in the red zone right now of trying to get this pulled off. Yeah, Paul.
If the Big Ten commissioner holds a revote of the presidents of the Big Ten teams, does that not take the onus off him to a point? Because whatever they decide as a majority is the rule. Because the Big Ten commissioner is just advising, guiding. He's not making the decision.
But the president called the commissioner.
Right.
He called Kevin Warren. He didn't call any presidents.
Right.
He called the commissioner. So it's on the commissioner to almost convince the presidents, let's play football. But this is fluid. It could change. It could be done by later today where they don't play football. Or, you know, the Ohio State president, Christina Johnson, says she sees a path that could lead the Big Ten football schedule being played this fall. So that's one of the presidents. And I don't know how persuasive she is. Ohio State, obviously powerful, but what are the other presidents going to say? And look, Kevin Warren, in a couple of months, could be the guy who says, I told you so. Or he could be out of a job. Because he could be saying, look, I told you, we couldn't pull this off, and look at the other conferences, they weren't able to complete their football season. But if the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 are able to pull this off, be a lot of heat on Kevin Warren. By the way, we found out yesterday there will be a national championship this year. Still scheduled. Might not be the Pac-12 or Big Ten, but they're going to have a national championship game. If they're able to pull this off, you know, complete a season, they're going to have a national championship game. We were told that yesterday. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. Say good morning to our TV partner, Peacock, and also great radio affiliates around the country, numbering 362. The headlines, the Celtics up 2-0 on the Raptors. Now, that probably gives you the feeling of, uh-oh, doom and gloom for the Raptors. But for some reason, I have a whole lot more confidence in them than I probably should. Down 2-0 to a Celtic team that looked impressive so far. The Nuggets beat the Jazz. They advance. They get the Clippers. You have the Thunder and the Rockets. That's tonight, Game 7. The winner gets the Lakers. Heat and the Bucks as the Bucks try to even that series at a game apiece. So we have our poll question. Oh, I wanted to play some sound following the game last night. And Donovan Mitchell, Utah Jazz, might have been a coming out party for a lot of basketball fans being exposed to just how great he is. And this is his reaction after the game.
I didn't really know what else to do. I was exhausted. And I just kind of just laid there. I don't know, man. I just, that sucks. It'll be on my mind for a long time. And this kind of reminds me of last year going 4-23 from the field. That kind of fueled my entire season. In game 5 against Houston, in Houston, and fueled everything I did this year. It's just another thing to fuel me for next year. I'll be back.
He should hold his head high because that's a wonderful basketball player. Jamal Murray, both of these guys limped towards the finish line, but Jamal Murray was on with Scott Van Pelt on the Mothership last night, and he found out the next game he's going to be playing.
Look, you guys both look gassed, both sides, and the Clippers we know is going to be a rugged test. Between now and Thursday, what do you do?
We play Thursday?
Yeah.
You don't get 2 days off?
No. No, it's Thursday.
Man, well, that's a bummer.
His face. What? We don't get 2 days off? It was great TV with SVP there with Jamal Murray. Fun to watch, and Game 7 is always great. little chaotic there towards the end. It wasn't great basketball, but it was interesting. That's for sure. Yes, Paulie.
All right, Dan, a little game here off the Jazz Nuggets. Would you rather be Mike Conley, who missed the last shot that would have won the game and advanced in the playoffs, or Donovan Mitchell, who didn't have the opportunity to take the last shot? Their best player sitting in the corner. Which would bother you more, missing the last shot or not having a chance to shoot the last shot?
Well, I would rather be Mike Conley that I got a chance to win it.
Yes. Yeah. Correct. That's the correct answer.
Thank you, Paul.
Game's over.
Thank you. Thank you. Fritzy, do you guys want to do this? I'm assuming you guys didn't get this. He sent it to me. These are mock headlines with the Nuggets and the Jazz.
And the Celtic game as well.
Oh, God. Okay. Do we do what, like the Big Ten presidents? Do we take a vote? Or
can we do it in spring?
Yeah. All right, Todd. Yeah,
can we push this off till October 10th?
Whatever. Wow. That's my birthday, by the way.
Same month, same day, same year?
Brett Favre.
October 10th.
Brett Favre.
Born same day as Brett Favre.
We're October 10th this year is a Saturday, but it means we don't have to work with Fritzy on his birthday.
Yes.
So we won't acknowledge it on Friday the 9th at all.
No, we will not.
All right,
so you want to do these mock headlines?
I'd like to.
Okay.
All right, we're going to start it off with the Jazz and Nuggets. Donovan Mitchell, too soon, ? That mean spirited, Donovan Mitchell?
So D-O-N-E.
Instead of Donovan Mitchell, yeah, Donovan Mitchell, because the Jazz are done. They lost.
All right. I'd have to be seeing that. So a visual joke there. Okay. Here we go.
Okay. Right. Go Bear or go home.
All right. Rudy Gobert. Okay.
No Joker. Denver stacks deck in game 7. Like a deck of cards as a Joker.
I got it.
You can't explain it. You don't want me to explain it.
If you have to explain it, then it's not any good. Okay.
Smart move. Wise to give Marcus ball in fourth.
By the way, when I see Marcus Smart on the basketball floor, I don't want him taking threes. He's a very confident shooter, and he shouldn't be. But then last night, he was unbelievable. Because he looks like a defensive back who just wandered on to the basketball court. And he plays that way. But he's gotten better at shooting threes. And last night, he was unbelievable. Okay, Fritzy, continue.
All right, just a few more, and I'll put you guys out of your misery. Championship success may be Van Vleeting for Toronto.
Fred Van Vliet.
Two more losses, they're out. Ulta Tatum. Jason says, beat us in game 3 or it's over. He never really said that.
Ultimatum, no.
Wowry. Kyle and company dropped first two to Boston.
Okay.
And the last one, I know you're thrilled. Raptors have a nurse, but need a doctor right now.
Oh, Jesus.
They're kind of ill. They lost the first two games.
I think you
no, that's
took
just bad.
A zero. You got a bagel.
I don't even pass?
You got an offer. Yeah, Paul.
Fritzy's mistake was also combining two different series, which is more confusing on the listener. It's like it's Hard Knocks, two teams.
Yeah.
Because you're like, wait, which players are you referring to?
I did. I kind of forced it in both games like that. Raptors have a nurse, but need a doctor. Nick Nurse is the head coach of the Raptors. I got it.
If I gave you a do-over, would you do those again?
I would not.
Okay. Look at you. You're growing.
I am.
You're
maturing.
Learning.
I'm realizing what's good, what's a left turn. And
you're not maturing.
I'm not.
Yes, McClellan.
Hey, I never saw the headline that Kyle Lowry's game left the bubble 3 days ago. When did that come out?
Why are we taking shots now?
Because I was rooting for the Raptors because I'm a Sixers fan. I was like the Celtics. And Kyle Lowry is just not there.
Yeah.
It's just Van Vliet, Van Vliet, Van Vliet.
I know.
All they got.
Fred Van Vliet has made himself some money next season.
Yeah, unless he goes to the Knicks. And then
you still get paid.
No, I know, but that can't work out.
Why? Is he?
Because the Knicks just because they kind of ruin everyone's career.
And remember what we were talking about? If all of a sudden the Bucks bow out this year, then you'll start to hear more stories about, the Greek freak. Where's he going to land? No sooner did we get off the air yesterday, and I saw a headline, if Milwaukee bows out early, look for the Miami Heat to be a landing spot. And I went, that didn't take long. That did not take long for the Greek freak. Be a great destination. Yes, McClellan.
Yeah, can you picture Duncan Robinson posted up in the corner with the Greek?
I know. But then you have Bam Adebayo and, like, I don't know. Let's see. What else do I have here? Anything?
I'm going to go back real quick. Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
He really enjoys being the lead guy. I don't know if that would work out too well if he is no longer the lead guy in any way.
Let me hold off on that.
I know. I just was thinking
about
it.
Let me hold off on that. Yeah. I don't. This feels like I'm on First Take or Undisputed.
Oh, covering stuff a year and a half from now?
Yeah. Like, there's enough right in front of us. Hey, let's talk about if the Greek Freak goes to Miami. Question mark. Yes, McClellan.
I got an even better First Take. A poll, an NBA poll question. If you had one Hall of Fame vote, and you have to speculate here, would you give it to Russell Westbrook, James Harden, or Chris Paul, the three guys who are going tonight? Who's the biggest Hall of Famer out of that group? And you have to speculate how Harden and Westbrook will finish their career.
I give it to Harden.
Yeah, me too.
But how about this? If I said Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony.
How about Westbrook as a third?
Yeah, you could. All right. Out of that group, who would you give your Hall of Fame vote to?
Carmelo Anthony averaged over 26 points a game like 8 different times.
But also, he won a national championship at Syracuse. So it's the basketball, not pro basketball Hall of Fame. Chris Paul didn't win anything in college. Russell Westbrook Jr. III didn't in his one season at UCLA. The triple-double stuff. I'd probably give my vote to Melo. And then I would go, I'd probably go Russell Westbrook Jr. III. Just because of, those couple of seasons that he put up. He won an MVP. And then I'd do Chris Paul. But Chris Paul's having a hell of a final act here. Or not final act, but, at the end of his career, he's playing extremely well. Yes, McLovin.
This is another first takeaway. Like, how much pressure is on those three guys tonight? Like, who's got the real serious pressure tonight?
With Harden, Westbrook, and Chris Paul?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think there's the same pressure on Chris Paul. I think there's a lot of pressure on the Rockets because I think there's more riding on this game. If Oklahoma City bows out, we acknowledge them and say, wow, they did a pretty good job pulling this all together. And with the Rockets, we had our doubts. We knew that this usually happens to them in the postseason. But if you don't get past the first round, now you're regressing. And that's where it feels like. But can you bring in a different coach? Because they've embraced this style. This is D'Antoni's 7 seconds getting a shot up that he had in Phoenix. They just shoot threes. But I don't know who you bring in that says, hey, let's continue to do this style. Can you change their styles? And I don't think you can. That can be hard to do with certainly with Harden. I mean, Westbrook only knows how to play really one way. That's all out. Harden feels like he's got to have the ball, wants the ball, needs the ball, demands the ball. All right, we'll take a break. Phone calls are coming up, and we'll come back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Get a good night's sleep last night? I did. And there's a couple of reasons why. Yeah, as more places reopen and we safely enjoy summer, now moving into the fall, quality sleep is more important than ever. Not only a natural immunity booster that also helps with energy and recovery. Sleep prepares you. You're more balanced emotionally. Are you getting more sleep, Todd? Because maybe you're getting less sleep, because I don't think you're balanced emotionally.
I'm not balanced emotionally, but I am getting a decent amount of sleep, except for these late night basketball games, but I'm sleeping all right.
All right. Well, come in during the biggest sale of the year. All beds are on sale at Sleep Number for a limited time. Save 50% on a Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. You can shop your way at a Sleep Number store, online, or at sleepnumber.com/Patrick, or by chat. If you would like to. And Sleep Number, the bed owners who have a Sleep Number enjoy almost an hour's more of sleep per night.
What's your sleep number, by the way, these days?
100.
100?
Yes. Yes.
That's fabulous.
Just like the scores on all of the tests you took when you cheated off your neighbor. Whoa! Sleepnumber.com/Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Make sure you go to rockauto.com, all the parts your car or truck will ever need, rockauto.com. Family business founded by automotive engineers in 1999, two goals in mind. First, giving you direct access to all the parts information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, making the parts affordable. They offer reliably low prices. at rockauto.com. Choose the part brands, prices, features you want anytime. They're there 24/7. Go to rockauto.com. And you've probably been told at some point, dealer only are no longer available. Don't believe that until you go to rockauto.com. The parts delivered right to your home or office. Don't waste time and money hunting for parts, phoning, driving, waiting in lines. Go to rockauto.com today. Make sure you tell them we sent you all the parts your car or truck will ever need. rockauto.com. Couple of phone calls here. You got the Game 7 tonight, Rockets and the Thunder. Kyle, California, back on the program. Hi, Kyle.
Morning, DP. First of all, love that Mark Jackson interview. It's like being at the next table to you guys at dinner. I thought you were going to get him to tell you where he wanted to coach.
Yes, I should have pressed him a little bit more. That's why he wouldn't tell me the ideal job opening, because he's got his name in the hat in a couple of those.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. So in terms of Rockets Thunder, I'd be shocked if the Rockets lose tonight. Harden's not just going to watch down the stretch. And in terms of who the Lakers would rather play, here's what I'm thinking. They don't really want to see that OKC three-guard lineup, even though it would probably let them play JaVale and Dwight. If you play the Rockets, you get to play AD at the five. That's their best lineup. They'd probably be forced to do that as the series went on the whole time.
Yeah, I don't know. AD doesn't like playing the five, but, you know, thank you, Kyle. I think the lines are just blurred with what position you play anymore. You know, Tim Duncan didn't want to be listed as a center. He wanted to be a forward because he was putting up numbers that would make him the greatest power forward in history, at least decorated. As a center, he'd just be another great center in NBA history. But when you say the best power forward in the history of basketball, Tim Duncan's name comes up because he won five titles and didn't want to be listed as a center. But as far as AD, AD's not a center. He would be 20 years ago, 15 years ago. Now he's just a versatile big man. Yeah, McLovin.
Can you win with like a Rudy Gobert type in today's NBA? Can you win at like the highest level? I mean, you got to win a title with a guy like that?
Well, I got to know who else I have here. I do think you need a rim protector because it feels like you're either shooting a three or you're trying to get a layup. A layup getting fouled. You're not shooting mid-range jumpers, and Rudy Gobert is a very valuable commodity. But if you don't have perimeter players with you, then it kind of stands out a little bit. You know, like Clint Capella when he was with Houston. It's like, oh, you got to have Clint Capella. I thought they did. But then they go to that small ball, and your biggest guy is 6'7". But they're all in on this, and it's all about creating a mismatch. And that's what the Rockets try to do, intend to do tonight, is you have to deal with us. We're going to have to deal with you, but you have to deal with us. We're more confident with what we are and who we are and how we play than you are with your style. I mean, that's their philosophy here. It works sometimes. They're just not consistent enough. And if you're going to play the same team for seven games, it's even harder to be consistent. And you're seeing that with the Rockets. They could be lights out tonight. They could make 35 threes. Harden could go for 50. But I got to find out what I'm getting from Russell Westbrook, because Oklahoma City's philosophy is Russell Westbrook, come on down and keep shooting. Put the ball in his hands and hopefully you get some turnovers here. It's what they're kind of banking on here. Brad in North Carolina. Hi, Brad. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, DP. So I wasted my parents' money when I went to college and got a degree in political science and then took a sales career. But days like today are fascinating to me because I get to combine my passion for sports and politics. So I'm really fascinated by this Big Ten thing because you've got probably the most polarizing president in modern history. You have all these presidents of universities, which are traditionally liberal institutions. So you got to wonder where their thoughts are. Then you add money into the mix. And then you have the swing states that are basically all the Big Ten schools that Trump won most of those states. So I just find it fascinating. I'm with you. I think it's a long shot, but it really is interesting.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and you have an election year as well. And thank you, Brad. I mean, there's a lot at stake. The president reaching out to the commissioner of the Big Ten and saying, hey, how do we make this happen? I want Big Ten football. It's a lot of pressure, to put on a commissioner who has not been on the job that long. And maybe they make this happen. Maybe. And anything that's happening now, I'm trying to find out things as they move along here. And I have not heard from my source with this morning, other than prior to the show, as far as during the show, you know, is there going to be a vote? Will the president's vote again on it? You know, what role do the athletic directors have in this? There's just a lot at stake here. And I do think that there is a possibility, and I wouldn't have said that 2 weeks ago. I do think that there is a real possibility that they play, but they have to play by October 10th. That's why I mentioned that date yesterday. That was the tweet that was sent out, because they want to be able to qualify for the national championship. They know what they have in Ohio State. The Big Ten wants to be represented. That's what needs to be mentioned, too. Wisconsin feels like they have a Final Four team as well. I'm sure Michigan and Penn State feel that way as well. But Ohio State has a legitimate chance to play, win a national championship this year. And the Big Ten doesn't want to lose that opportunity and that money. Yeah, Paul.
Do you think 3 weeks ago when the Big Ten commissioner and the presidents shut things down, they thought that the other conferences would follow suit in the near future? And they made the decision knowing, well, everyone else will fall in line once school comes back and there's problems. And now that they see teams playing and the SEC not bailing in any way, and the other conferences are like, our plan did not go the way we thought.
I don't know what we've tried to get Kevin Warren on. I don't know what he's thinking, but I do know that in 2 months from now, we're going to look at Kevin Warren and say, he was smart. He did the wise thing. Or, boy, you guys missed a great opportunity to play football here. SEC, ACC, like Notre Dame, they're all in. Big 12, they're all in. But you also have these other schools. I think what's frustrating, and it is for me just as a college football fan, watching Austin Peay play Central Arkansas on Saturday night, and I kept thinking, what are they doing that helps them play football? What safety measures, precautions, quarantine? Like, these aren't big budget football programs. That's why the NFL will work, because the NFL has billions of dollars behind it and will spend it to ensure this season is played. But you have to spend it to make it. And that's why I thought the Big Ten closed up shop sooner than I thought they would or should. At least try. Even give the impression you're trying. I would have been satisfied with just that. And, you know, the Pac-12, who knows what happens to the Pac-12 as we move forward? Because there's a lot of restructuring that's being talked about in the Pac-12. And really, what is your identity? Like, what do you want to be known as? And how will the rest of college football view you as we move forward with this? And I go back to the quote from a Big 12 coach when the Big 12 said they were all in. And he said, this puts us above the Big 10 because we're playing and they're not. It's about, you know, the optics here of who's playing, who's willing to, like, if you're a recruit and you go, well, Pac-12, they didn't want to play this year. Big 10 didn't want to play this year. You might start to look at the ACC, Big 12, SEC, if you hadn't already. And that's what coaches will sell this. When they go recruiting, they will sell the hell out of this. Oh, you don't want to go Pac-12? They're soft. And I'm paraphrasing the conversation I have with the coach, because he's saying, look, when I'm out on the recruiting trail, that's what I'm going to tell the recruits. You don't want to go with Pac-12. They don't love football. They're soft. Big 10, what happened? They didn't want to play. We're playing, and the Big 10 didn't want to play. Yes, Fritzy.
But if things go very sideways, then it's like, wow, they didn't care about our health. They just cared about money and networks and all that. You run that risk.
Well, these players aren't worried about their health. These players want to play. Now, their parents may think otherwise. But if you said to a 21-year-old, hey, you worried about your health? What's the percentage you would say, hey, I'll roll the dice, I want to play football here? I mean, when you're 21, you don't think about these things. They want to play football. They're not worried about, you know, long-term anything. If you were worried about your health, you wouldn't play football. Right? I mean, right? Let's be honest here. So these recruits want to play football. And I think that'll be used against the Big Ten and Pac-12. I know it'll be used against Pac-12. Absolutely. Phil in Indiana's back. Hi, Phil.
Dan, it is always my pleasure, buddy. Two quick things. Number one, I think all of this, Dan, doesn't it show that we need a commissioner that oversees college football? You were talking about the billions of dollars in NFL.
Yeah.
Certainly college is that. And then channeling my inner Todd Fritz, I simply wanted to say president's phone call trumps the original Big Ten decision.
Whoa. All right. Audience taking shots at Fritzy's mock headlines.
Serviceable.
Well,
better than anything I did with the basketball ones.
And he didn't have to explain it.
He didn't. He just got out. He was smart to just let it lay.
But I think the president had an impact. From what I was told yesterday, that tweet had a real impact. And the phone call. Because he was not going to keep it private. He was going to make it public. And what was he going to tweet out? And he said, look, we're at the 1 yard line. And my source said, we're not even in the red zone right now. Because the president made it seem like, hey, this is a foregone conclusion. But I don't think we're there. I think we might get there, but I don't think we're anywhere near that right now. All right, we're going to stay with that poll question, McLevin?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we could switch it over to that sort of Chris Paul, Carmelo Hall of Fame poll. We could get into, I have a running back poll question too.
We
haven't mentioned Walter Payton. Sorry, I want to get him by vote.
Maybe a tier below, more of the Alvin Kamara brand of running back.
Okay, I you know what? I want to get to that running back topic. Alvin Kamara wants to be paid Christian McCaffrey money. I'll talk about that coming up. I want to play something for you that happened. I think this is Lincoln, Nebraska. This is at the city council meeting. And really, this was a very, very serious tone. And I don't like getting political. I try not to. But this is a cause that I think we can all get behind. And this is how it played out at the Lincoln City Council.
Lincoln has the opportunity to be a social leader in this country. We have been casually ignoring a problem that has gotten so out of control that our children are throwing around names and words without even understanding their true meaning and treating things as though they're normal. I go into nice family restaurants and I see people throwing this name around and pretending as though everything is just fine. I'm talking about boneless chicken wings. I propose that we as a city remove the... Excuse me, I'm trying to...
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Sure. Come on.
I propose that we as a city remove the name boneless wings from our menus and from our hearts. These are our reasons why. Number one, nothing about boneless chicken wings actually come from the wing of a chicken. We would be disgusted if a butcher was mislabeling their cuts of meats, but then we go around and pretending as though the breast of the chicken is its wing. Number two, boneless chicken wings are just chicken tenders, which are already boneless. I don't go to order boneless tacos. I don't go and order boneless club sandwiches. I don't ask for boneless auto repair. It's just what's expected. And then number three, we need to raise our children better. Our children are raised being afraid of having bones attached to their meat. That's where meat comes from. It grows on bones. We need to teach them that the wing of a chicken is from a chicken, and it's delicious. I propose that we rename boneless wings in the city of Lincoln. We can call them buffalo-style chicken tenders. We can call them wet tenders. We can call them saucy nugs or trash. We can take these steps and show the country that where we stand, and that we understand that we've been living a lie for far too long, and we know it because we feel it in our bones.
Thank you.
Once again, I don't like to get political, and I know people are going to pick sides, you know, depending on what side of the aisle you're on, but I just wanted to bring it to your attention. I couldn't stay silent any longer. Yes, Paul.
And he's not an extremist. He's not saying get rid of boneless wings, which I'd be in favor of. He's saying just get rid of the name and embrace wings.
Call it what it is. That's what he's trying to say. Like, there's not truth in advertising there with boneless chicken wings. I don't know how we can help, but I'm willing to put all of my power behind this. This is the social cause that I want to stand for.
Saucy nugs.
I love saucy nugs. I might have been called that one time in high school.
How did he make it through that without cracking up?
Well, no, my favorite is when the guy starts laughing and then he turns around and he goes, hey.
He's like, yeah, hey.
A little respect.
Trying to do something here.
City council.
Yeah. Hey, come on.
Just wonderful.
Oh, that's great. That's great stuff. Saucy nugs. Saucy nugs. Yes, Todd.
You think he wasn't interrupted and allowed to go all the way to the end out of fear that this guy must be a little wacky to actually bring this to the council? We better let him just continue talking. Who knows?
Todd, now that's a patriot right there. He's a true patriot.
For the kids.
Yes. It's about the kids. He's saying it's about the kids. And saucy nugs. All right, we'll take a break. McLovin has a running back poll question. That'll make you stay in your car. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Happy birthday to Keanu Reeves, 56. He could pass for 40. That dude walked in the studio when we were in New York, and I went, now, that's a movie star right there. Look good. Yes, he.
I just watched the new Bill and Ted.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
How is it?
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, his voice raised up a little bit. Seton's voice went up, and he said, pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to win an Oscar.
Oh, it's not? Okay.
Yeah, but it's like, all right, yeah, okay. Why not? It's entertaining enough.
I've been watching Yellowstone with Kevin Costner. And it is spicy. Beautiful scenery and some good characters there. Yes, McLovin.
I tried it. I'm out.
What?
It is so hardcore. You didn't warn me what was going to happen.
Well, I didn't know I had to warn you.
It's depressing.
It's life.
Life on the big ranch in the middle of Montana.
I'm watching it on Peacock.
It is a hardcore show. No, it's very, very good, but it is a really tough show, like Breaking Bad or...
Oh, it's not Breaking Bad.
No, I mean, it's pretty intense so far.
It is.
If you're looking for light entertainment.
No, it's not. It's not light entertainment.
Because I tried Sunset Listing upon your recommendation or
Selling Sunset.
Yeah. Nah.
I tried... It just feels like Real Housewives of Sunset, and they also sell real estate.
Just show me the fancy houses.
Yeah. I don't care about your personal life. Terry Bradshaw is 72 today. Eric Dickerson is 60. Lennox Lewis is 55. And Brandon Ingram, the most improved player, is 23. All right. So what's your running back poll question?
Okay. So Alvin Kamara may or may not be kind of holding out on the Saints. I'm going to give you a choice of running backs that you can have this year.
Okay.
I'm going to take Christian McCaffrey off of it since he's kind of considered the most valuable. Alvin Kamara, Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, Derrick Henry, and maybe I'll put in Dalvin Cook. I wasn't sure if he belonged in that tier. Probably not.
If I'm starting a team and you've taken out McCaffrey.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you McCaffrey.
Alvin Kamara. Saquon Barkley, Zeke Elliott, Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook. Same price.
Same price, but and only you only have to worry about 1 year, this year. And I'm not going to tell you if you're a passing or running offense.
I would take Ezekiel Elliott. I'm not the biggest fan. I don't want him 4 years from now or 3 years from now. Can Derrick Henry continue to do this? Dalvin Cook is on the cusp of, I think, being a really good one. Saquon, he needs a little better support. Kamara's playing in that Saints offense. I'd go Zeke. By the way, speaking of the Cowboys, here's Jerry Jones on 103.5 The Fan in Dallas.
I believe if we could get a Lombardi Trophy in this year in this condition, I'd have to set it apart, set it up to the side. But in memory of a great accomplishment, not an exceptional or one that had some hair on it.
Some hair on it?
Excuse me? What the hell is he talking about?
I have no idea. The Lombardi Trophy will have hair on it.
Is that an official decision?
I have no idea. Not sure what Jerry's saying. But it would be a big deal if they won that. Where has Jerry Jones been though? We haven't. He went like 4 months without saying a word. Now he's back as the season gets ready to start here. Kamara is he's not holding out, right, McLovin?
He's supposed to show up today, and he's been missing practice, but in the building or something. And
he wants something that'll match Christian McCaffrey's $16 million per year. What kind of numbers did he put up?
He was hurt last year.
Yeah.
So his numbers dipped a little bit. He had a pretty serious...
That's right. He had 700 rushing yards, 800 receiving yards. Oh, no, that was as a rookie. 14 total touchdowns. His numbers, 2018, they were impressive too. 18 touchdowns. Let's see. Just under 800 rushing yards, 500 receiving yards, and a career low 6 touchdowns. It's kind of tough to ask for that kind of money after that season. Plus, he didn't get paid because he wasn't a first-round draft pick. Saints got a big salary cap number. Second highest salary cap number. I don't know. I always, you know, the Bengals paid Joe Mixon. Did you have to pay him now? And I don't know. I think we've seen this where there are running backs. There's a plethora of running backs out there. Now you got to find them, as the Saints did with Kamara. Yeah, Paulie.
I didn't understand that either. I saw Joe Mixon, who's a good running back. There's nothing special about him. They gave him $48 million. And now that's not a truckload of money, but they had the blessing of the rookie contract of Joe Burrow, which is what you want. You want to spend money on other things. Now they're in a position where they've shifted money towards the running back position.
Only three running backs have more rushing yards than Joe Mixon since entering the league in 2017. Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, Derrick Henry.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
He's fifth in the NFL in yards after contact since his rookie season in 2017. The league's seventh most rushing yards since the start of the 2018 season. This is a valuable weapon. And this is where, if you're Joe Burrow, you're thrilled to have Joe Mixon. It feels like Joe Burrow's first completion will be a little swing pass to Joe Mixon out of the backfield. I'm going to guess that that would be it. I should bet on that. Does anybody? I'll give you the field. I'll give you the entire roster. I'm taking Joe Mixon out of the backfield.
Check down.
Little check down.
Calling it. It's very Orlovskian of you.
Yeah.
What if it's Gio Bernard sneaks in there? Does that still count?
No, it's Joe Mixon is going to be on the receiving end of Joe Burrow's first pass. It can't be another running back. Anybody want to take me up on that?
I was going to pick a defensive player.
Ooh, whoa!
No, that's not. That's a McLovin.
Wow. Yeah, that McLovin skews negative.
I don't like the Bengals. Mad at them.
Oh, stop with the Andy Dalton pouting. All right, 2 hours in the books. One more to go. Seton Pauly, Fritzy McLovin. Yours truly, right here on the Dan Patrick Show.